Well, guys, we are finishing our series here, The Pursuit of Healthiness. What do you reckon, Melbourne? Does that sound good? And as I shared, I'm going to zoom in today to one final pursuit of healthiness, which is around our emotions. I'll keep the band with me for a moment, but I remember since the moment Brave was born, my wife and I, every night, we'll go into his bedroom, and part of his nighttime routine is we'll lay hands on him. I don't think we've missed one night in nearly a year, and we pray for him. And you know, as a father, what comes out of my heart as I pray for my son is I just pray for God to bless him. And my heart is that he would be blessed for all the days of his life in every area of his life. When I'm praying that, I'm not just saying, I'd love it if he was blessed in his spiritual life, but I don't care about this area of his life or this area of his life. And I'm an earthly father. I am filled with imperfections, as we all are. How much more does our God in heaven, our Father in heaven, want to bless you and I? And often we think that his blessing is just for our spiritual life, for our church life. But can I tell everyone here in this room, here in Melbourne and online, God's heart is that you and I would prosper in all things. 3 John 1:2, our key verse for this series. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Everyone say prosper. Prosper. Melbourne say prosper. Woo, we hear you. In all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. I don't know your perspective of God here this morning, but can I tell everyone that you have a God, I have a God in heaven who loves us, who wants to bless us in every area of life. And that includes our emotional world, our soul world. And I just love to pray as we enter this topic. Why don't we just reach out to God one last time before I bring the word. Precious Holy Spirit, right now in the room on the Sunshine Coast, Lord, in 100 New Street in Melbourne, for those watching online, we say, come, Holy Spirit. We welcome your presence here this morning. And Lord, as we open your word, I ask that your word speak to every single one of us. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, as we open the word for you to speak to us and that your word transform our life today. And I declare in the name of Jesus over anyone today struggling in their soul, struggling in their emotional world, let something shift in the name of Jesus this morning. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Let's give a big hand to the band. Thank you, guys. Thank you, band in Melbourne. Give someone a high five next to you. Say, we're going deep this morning. In fact, we're going to bring up a swear word in church, the V word, vulnerability. Everyone say, turn to your second neighbor, say, we're getting vulnerable. Ooh. Who just gets instantly uncomfortable with just saying the word vulnerability? It's like, ugh. Ooh. What a great topic. I'm pumped to be preaching about this. I hope it helps you and I together. But let me help by launching with some vulnerability. I'll take us on the journey. So I remember sitting across a Christian psychologist a fair few years ago now. Now, this wasn't something new for me. I we're so blessed, like, by the model of our leaders and our culture that we encourage people to grow in every area of their life. And so I got encouraged from a young man to have people in my life who can help me in every area. And so I made a bit of a habit after I hit around 22, 23, and I found a great Christian psychologist. And I've seen Christian counselors. And over the years, they've been such a help. One mindset I have as a guy is, hey, if I'm going to go run a marathon, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to get a coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to put on muscle and look like Dave Crowder and John Owen and have cannons as arms, what do? You get a PT. Or you just take steroids like Dave does. That was his advice to me. But I don't sin, so no. I'm just teasing. It's genetic. Oh, that's the old Dave, yeah. He's transformed. But in our soul, we need people to help us too. And that's why, for me, I remember sitting across this Christian counselor, psychologist, and he asked me the same question he asked me every time. Dan, how are you going? This time, however, I went to answer like I had many times before, but the words couldn't come out. And I just remember I could feel this uncomfortable feeling in my stomach, like a knot. and it was rising to the surface. And as many people are, a lot of guys, you're trained to push that back down, right? But I couldn't. And I just began to weep and weep and weep in this meeting. As I went to answer, a lot of emotion came up out of my heart. And if I'm honest with you guys, in that moment, it was quite scary for me. I knew there was something wrong, but I didn't quite know how to put words to it. My emotional health, what we're talking about today, had probably, I knew it'd been struggling a little bit. It'd been what I'd call redlining. It had been a little bit low for a season, but in this moment, something had actually broken in me. I had crossed a line. And in that moment, as I sat there weeping, and he helped me and prayed with me and discussed with me, I realized that my eyes were open. My soul was actually in quite a bad place. Questions were coming up in my mind. I don't know if you can relate to that or you've had a season like that. Questions came, how did I get here? Where did I go wrong? And I don't know about you, the soul can be quite complicated. Where the heck do I go from here? How do I get out of this place that I'm in? And for me, it was a wake-up moment that began a journey for me of going back to a place of emotional health. And it was a long journey for me. I learned a lot from leaders, mentors. I continued to see a great Christian psychologist and a Christian counselor that helped me with so many things. I dug into the Word of God and I went on this whole journey of what does the Bible say about our soul and how we can flourish emotionally? If I'm honest, I had to make some changes in my life. I had to make some adjustments. And maybe here today, at the end of this message, the Holy Spirit's going to give just you a little nudge like He gave me that day. And maybe we need to make a few adjustments. Maybe we need to change some of our habits like I had to. I had to focus on my emotional health. And you know, the biggest thing I discovered in that season is God wants us to prosper in our emotional health, but we are responsible for the state of our own soul. Say, I am responsible. Well done, Melvin. And it began a journey. And can I be honest, guys? I wish I could say I got prayed for once and whoop, I was better. But can I be honest, guys? It took time. It was a journey. And it didn't happen overnight. And I'm still to this day completely not perfect in this area. It's not like you face this once and you get healthy again and then it just goes away. But what I want to share today is some thoughts that really helped me that as I went on this journey and continue on this journey, that God has highlighted to me, and I pray that it encourages you and I here this morning. But can I just start by saying this? If you are in a bad place this morning, maybe even as I've begun sharing and you're reflecting on the state of your soul, what a great thing to do. Even just do that right now. How is my soul? But can I share, if you're in a dark place right now, maybe you are struggling with anxiety, maybe you are struggling with depressions or feelings of hopelessness, I just want to encourage you here today that you are not crazy, you are not alone, and this will come to an end. I really feel I'm speaking to someone to Melbourne. God, show me, there's someone there. This will come to an end. Okay, when we are in this place, it is not forever. And what we're talking about today is that God's heart is not that you and I would struggle with depression, not that we would struggle with anxiety, not that we'd live downcast and sad and hopeless and defeated. Come on, we serve a God who wants you and I to flourish in life, to be healthy in life, and to reign. And so can I just encourage you, it will not last forever. Come on, we're going to get set free and healthy again. So who struggles with emotional health? Can I tell you there's one thing that qualifies you and me? It's that we have a soul. Turn to someone next to you and say, that's you. Come on, pastors are not immune. Businessmen are not immune. Males are not immune. No one's immune. We can all struggle. In fact, the Bible is filled with people who struggled in their emotions. Elijah struggled with depression and suicidal thoughts. Moses struggled with anxiety and burnout. David struggled with depression and anxiety consistently through his life. Paul said he was so overwhelmed by pressure, he despaired of life itself. And David just shared a passage here on the Sunshine Coast where Jesus was so overwhelmed in his soul that it's like he was sweating drops like blood, the Bible says. And so if you and I find ourselves in a place of struggling emotionally, you're in good company. You're not alone. It's part of life, but we don't stay there. Depression and anxiety are not a sign of spiritual failure, but a signal that something needs attention. Depression and anxiety are not a sign of spiritual failure, but a signal that something needs attention. So before I get into a few thoughts, what can wreak havoc on our emotional soul? Like, as I said, the soul can seem complicated. But there's many things, but let me just share a few. Life in balance can put pressure on our soul. Maybe we've overcommitted to something or just feel like life's so full. It can be comparison. Comparison can wreak havoc on our emotional world. Consistently looking to the left and the right. Consistently opening Instagram and comparing our life to others. Isolation, being alone, feeling lonely can wreak havoc on our soul. And we can feel isolated. Ruminating thoughts, we can struggle in our emotional health, where we're like looping and our mind is just negative and negative self-talk and just self-hatred and saying awful things. Spiritual warfare can cause havoc on our emotional well-being. It's not always spiritual, but sometimes we're in a season of spiritual warfare and it can drain our soul. And the last one is unmet expectations. When we have pressure coming on, maybe in our marriage, maybe in our finances, maybe we're in a season where life is full with kids. All these things can just cause pressure on our soul, and that is normal. But what I want to talk about today is how we can get out of that place and pursue healthiness in our soul. And to do that, we're going to look at a man in the Bible named Elijah. We're going to look at some keys from his life. And to set the scene of where I'm about to go, we're going to look at 1 Kings 19, but just really quickly, can I take you to 1 Kings 18? What happened just before we're about to read? Well, Elijah probably just had the most powerful moment of his entire life, okay? It's not like he had been struggling for long. He had actually just had what was the most significant spiritual moment in his life. He had just faced the 400 prophets of Baal. And you can go home and read that. But he brought a great victory for God and for the Israelites. He had literally, think about this, had just prayed and seen fire fall from heaven. Come on, who knows that's a good day? Come on, he literally prayed, fire fell from heaven and vroomf, did the sacrifice. He literally just got on his knees and Israel had been in a drought for over 3 years, not a drop of rain. And Elijah gets on his knees and he seeks God and rain begins to fall. Yeah. Give me a wave, come on, in Melbourne, here in the room. Who thinks that's a good day? Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. That's the scene. Yeah. But then let's read together from 1 Kings 19, verse 2. This is straight after everything I've just shared. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. In other words, I am going to come and I am going to kill you. Elijah was afraid, verse 3, and ran for his life. Isn't that interesting? The man of God who just saw fire fall from heaven, this woman just said one line and there was a demonic spirit attached to it and instantly he just ran for his life. Interesting. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. We'll come back to that. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. So when we're talking about emotional health, who thinks Elijah was in a pretty bad place? He prayed he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. If you're struggling here this morning in your emotional world, as I shared earlier, you're in good company. There's a way out. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals. Don't think about it too much. We'll get hungry. And a jar of water. And he ate and drank them and lay down again and fell asleep. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." And then Melbourne, it goes on, verse 8, so he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. I'm going to unpack some things from the story, but Elijah found himself in a cave. He was in a cave completely isolated, a cave of depression, a cave of, he literally got to the point of so much pressure on his soul. His emotional health was red lighting so much, he literally asked God to take his life. Wow. It's safe to say he wasn't in a great place. But I want to talk about what we can learn from how God dealt with Elijah. And even from my story, how God dealt with me and how God deals with us to get us from a place of emotional unhealth to health. I'm going to share 6 things, and I'm going to save 3 for tonight. So Melbourne East, I promise you, it is going to go on the podcast. So this is a week, make sure you go on the podcast. And everyone in the room, I encourage you, come back tonight, particularly if this encourages you. The 3 things I'm talking about tonight is to deal with what is underneath. I won't go into that now. What is underneath our anxiety? What's underneath our depression? The problem is often not the problem, but what is underneath. Number 2, how do we process negative emotions? Man, it's quiet in here. I told you the V word sucks, right? How do we process our negative emotions? We can't pretend things don't hurt us. We can't pretend we're not disappointed. Who knows? God knows how we're going. God knows the state of our soul. And number 3, we're going to talk about focus on purpose. That's tonight. Number 1, are you ready? Here today, I'm going to talk about focus on holistic health. Focus on holistic health. Warren in Melbourne is going to absolutely love this one. He's going to love this one. So if we quickly go back to verse 6, what are you talking about, Dan? In verse 6, it said, he looked around and there by his head was bread over hot coals, a jar of water. He ate and he drank and he laid down again. And what I found interesting here is God addressed Elijah's emotional state with a physical answer and a spiritual answer. So God didn't just give him a counseling session or ask him to journal about how he was going. The first thing God did is actually said, "Elijah, I want you to eat and I want you to sleep." I thought some people might like that in church. Come on, you can have a sleep, you can have a nap, and you can have a snack. I can just picture some wives going home saying, "Hey, Pastor Dan said, I'm allowed to have a nap." I see some people going home via KFC. I'm not saying I think that's a good idea, but get a snack. Yeah, Josh. Oh, I said the word. Sorry, Shekinah. That was just for you, Josh. But isn't that interesting? Elijah first was led by God to get some rest and to get some food and to drink some water. And so God addressed his physical health. And then God says, "All right, it's still not a counseling session yet. It's still nothing to do with this all." And then he says, "I want you to go to the mountain of God." What was waiting on the mountain of God? A 40-day journey to where he would have a fresh encounter with the presence of God and the word of the Lord would come to him. And right now I've got some friends. Nick's helped me with some people are going to come up. I want to share such a key that helped me around focusing on holistic health. Focusing on holistic health. Thank you, fellas. I didn't get Dave up this time because last time he distracted us all with his good body. Thank you, guys. And you guys. So God created you and I in his image. God is 3 in 1. Oh, that's right. Might have to swap sides. Thanks, fellas. God is 3 in 1. And he is Spirit, Father, Son. He made us in his image. We are 3 in 1. Thank you, lads. And what you can see here is we are a physical body. We have a spirit. Yeah, thank you, Elijah. And we have a soul. And I don't know about you, I find the hardest one probably is to understand my soul. And so sometimes in my soul, I'm like, how can I get my soul to feel better? Am I the only one or can you relate to that? Can you see this, Melbourne? And what I observed on my journey, if you guys can both lower this thing, what I notice is when my spiritual life isn't going very well, if I was to give it a rating out of 10, this would be like a 2 out of 10. And if my spirit's at a 2 out of 10 and my physical health, I'm not sleeping well, I'm not eating well, I'm not exercising, and that's 2, what do you notice about the soul? It gets dragged. And although we can do things to help our soul, it will pull in the direction of how our physical health is going and how our spiritual health is going. I hope you can see this all right, Melbourne. And so Elijah was in this place, and you can say down for me, but he first came and he said, Elijah, I want you to have a nap. I want you to have a snack. I want you to focus on your physical well-being, and you can stand up for me. Notice what happens. Our soul begins to lift instantly. And he didn't do anything to help his soul yet. It is very hard to have a healthy soul when our spiritual health is struggling. And no matter how much I exercise and eat well and sleep well and do all these things and I'm journaling, saying it's like I'm doing everything I can, but if our spiritual life is struggling, it will always be dragged down. So then go to the mountain of God. What happens? Elijah's over here. He has an encounter with the presence of God in the whisper where the word of the Lord comes to him. And if you can stand for me, what happens? Our soul begins to flourish. Is that helpful? And so my encouragement, my first point, to reach emotional health, we need to focus on our holistic health. And maybe we can reflect in Melbourne, in the room. Right now, how is your physical health going? And so after the psychology appointment, I reflected, and if I'm really honest with you guys, I'd been struggling in my physical health. If you can drop down again, do some squats. You can work on your physical health right here and now, my friend. I'll actually join you. Oh, yeah. All right. Nah. These are way too tight for that, Dan. All right. I started to focus on sleep. I started to exercise a little bit again. I started small just with a walk. But what I noticed, if you can just slowly rise, my physical health started going well. I started to limit caffeine, limit alcohol. There's so many things we can do. Oh, I went there. Limit KFC, Josh. I started to limit my KFC, Josh. And over here, if you can drop down again, if I'm honest, as I'm weeping out loud and talking with my psychologist, I realized my spiritual health wasn't going very well either. See, my prayer life had dropped. My word life had dropped. My head was there, but my heart hadn't. And so God took me on a journey of renovating my prayer life. And I worked on that. And as I focused on my spiritual health and my physical health, I found just naturally my soul began to lift. Can you guys give these two fellas a great hand? Thank you, boys. You guys can take your seat. So much fun. And just one last thought here, something I've observed as Christians, and I'm talking about myself, is we can so often not focus on our spiritual health. But I would actually argue, reflecting on my journey, the number one thing that made a difference in my life before I actually did anything for my soul was to connect with the Lord, to work on my prayer life, to feel close. Elijah got so close to the Lord, when the Lord would whisper, he heard. And that's the place we get restored. Amen? Amen. So how is your physical health going? How is your spiritual health going? I'm talking to all of us. I'm asking myself, and what's a step we can take to grow in that area? So if we come back to verse 3, I want to talk about a second thing we can learn from Elijah. Elijah was afraid, it says in verse 3, and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. What did Elijah do? In his emotional distress, he isolated himself. He had someone with him and he actually demanded and commanded, I want you to stay here, leave me alone, I'm gonna do this journey alone. And it goes on, that's when he actually asked God to take his own life. He made a critical mistake when it comes to our emotional well-being and he isolated himself. But my second point here this morning is have authentic relationships. Have authentic relationships. Maybe in Melbourne, you can say that out loud. Say, have authentic relationships. And so I came out of this psychology appointment and I knew what I had to do, but can I be honest with you guys? I was really wrestling with it. I needed to let my guard down, and I actually needed to start to tell people how I was going. And isn't it amazing how much you and I can hide about what's really going on in our hearts by putting a mask on? And if I'm honest with you guys, I was hiding so much even from my own wife, someone I lived with. She probably knew, I just hadn't told her. But it's amazing. And what I've discovered is you and I live almost like we don't mean to, but we have this mask on. And we come to church and we get out of the car, we put the mask on. And it's like, how are you going? I'm good. Where the truth is, I'm actually really struggling. And then you go to connect group and someone asks how your marriage is really going. And the mask comes on. And you just had this massive fight on the way. Oh, it's never been better. We are so in love. That's never been me. My wife and I never fight. Come on, a spiritual leader asks you, how are you going with temptation to sin? Woo, and last week you made an error. You made a mistake like we all might and we all do. But the mask comes, oh, never been better. See, we are trained by default in our society to mask what's truly going on the inside. But my encouragement here is that is never going to help our soul. We are designed to live with authentic relationship. And so what you and I need to do to the right people, and what I began to do is I had a conversation with my wife and the mask came off. I'm being authentic right now. Ebony, I need you to know I'm really struggling. I rang Pastor John. We had a Zoom call. My spiritual leader, the mask comes off. I began to reach out to my friends. And as I said, just a few really close friends and the mask came off. I cannot tell you the amount of healing that happened in my soul when what was I was hiding in the dark came into the light. Can I tell you, the devil wants you and I to keep everything in the dark, but God wants us to bring it into the light. Amen? Come on, give God a cheer in Melbourne as well. God is good. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says this, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. So who do you have in your life you can be completely real with? Who can you take the mask off with and share what's truly going on? You can't cast out what you need to talk out. And if the devil can isolate you and I, he can lie to you and I. We can only get healing to the level of vulnerability we're willing to go. I feel like I should say that again. We can only get healing to the level of vulnerability we are willing to go. So who's on your team? Who can you reach out to this week? And we're actually going to be talking about this in Connect Groups. What a great opportunity to share this. And as I close, the band can come and join me. The band can come up in Melbourne. My third thought here is to prioritize rest and Sabbath. Prioritize rest and Sabbath. So we've talked about focusing on holistic health, having authentic relationships. And my third thought here is focusing on rest and Sabbath. Psalm 23, verse 1-3 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd." Talking of Jesus Christ for you and I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. See, when you and I are struggling in our soul, often that is not God leading us there. We see the heart of a shepherd here. He wants to lead us to places of peace, places of joy, where we can just lie down in green pastures besides quiet waters. But here's the most powerful verse. In verse 3, it says, "He refreshes my soul." So when our soul is struggling, where do we turn? And there's nothing wrong with these things, but often we default to, I just need another holiday. I just need to pull back from this responsibility. I just need to go and binge Netflix all night. I need to turn to this substance that makes me feel a little bit better temporarily. But what I discovered in my life, there is a difference between escaping and refreshing. The world tells us to escape, to run from all these things and just escape, escape, escape. But what I have found, and some things, they're not bad. Is it bad to watch a movie? Of course not. Is it bad to play video games? I hope not. But what is bad is when we turn to those things instead of turning to the Lord. Those things distract us for a moment, but they don't refresh our soul. We go in as a 2 out of 10, we come out as a 2 out of 10. But the Lord refreshes our soul. There's something about just getting in the presence of the Lord. And it's not just spiritual things. Just a quick photo. I went camping with some friends a few weeks ago, and we did this mountain hike. Sorry, it's not very zoomed in. That's me. You can go to the next photo, it has a better view. But can I tell you guys, as I climb this mountain and the wind's blowing in my face, and it's all, I can't put to words. It's just like my soul just went, oh, what came out of my mouth? I love you, Lord. That is refreshing. And so God talks about this thing called Sabbath as I close this meeting. Because both, Dallas Willard says, both sin and busyness have the same effect. They cut off your connection to God, to other people, and even to your own soul. Jesus said the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So God, since creation, instilled a rhythm, a holy rhythm for you and I to flourish in our soul. And that is that we work for 6 days, but then there's this holy day called the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath is where you and I cease from working. We connect with God for a 24-hour period if possible. That can change in seasons. But we have this rhythm where we stop producing and we rest and we connect with God. And my last thought here that really helped me is that's not a day of escaping. I used to think a day off was sitting at the TV and just watching Netflix and play. Like, what I've learned is, what can you and I do? There's 4 steps: to stop, to rest, to delight, and to worship. That's what the Sabbath is. It isn't a day off from responsibilities, even though that's part of it. But what causes your soul to breathe? And it's different for everyone. Ebony's is to sow. If I sowed for more than 5 minutes, every cuss word Christians are allowed to say would come out of my mouth. It does not refresh me. I get stressed. But for her, she's like, I love life. And for some of you, climbing a mountain and sweating and having, you know, like that's like your nightmare. But for me, it refreshes my soul. Where do you connect with the Lord at a soul level? What's your green pastures and quiet rivers? And once a week, you and I need to set boundaries around our life where we cease from producing and we focus on rest. And just that's where Elijah went. God took him on a 40-day journey. And on those 40 days, he didn't produce anything. It was a journey of rest that led him to the place of being filled again. So here today, in a moment, I'm going to open the altar, actually, both in Melbourne and in the room. I really felt this whole journey for Elijah led to an encounter with God. And in that encounter, something shifted in his soul. He heard a fresh word from the Lord. He felt the whisper of God, the nearness of God. And I really sense this morning that there are still rivers in the house of God. I see, actually prophetically, there are people that came and your soul is, the state of your soul, I just like, it's a frenzy and it's crazy and there's just so much going on in your mind and your brain and your world and you're stressed out. And what I sense is in a moment, we're going to pray. And I just see the Holy Spirit both here and in Melbourne flowing and people's souls being refreshed. Because there is hope, friends. Elijah did not stay in the cave. God was not done with him, and God is not done with you. There is hope. You and I can live emotionally healthy. We can flourish in our soul and in our spirit and in our body. That is God's will for your life, and he leads us there. So what is your next step? Can I ask you in Melbourne, what is your next step here today? As I shared, I had to take many. Maybe for some of us, it is to focus on our holistic health, to start to work on our spiritual health again, to to really get into prayer or our physical health. Maybe for others, it's actually to have a real vulnerable conversation with someone. Build authentic relationships in your world. Maybe for some of us, it's actually to go to Connect Group and you've been putting it off and off and off, but that's a place of healing. And maybe for some, it's just to focus on that rest and that Sabbath. Finding the Lord your shepherd who restores your soul. Can I ask in Melbourne and here, can we all stand to our feet? I just want us all to close our eyes and reach out to the Lord. Can I invite the ministry prayer team, both in Melbourne, on the Sunshine Coast, can you just come to the altar, please? But if you're just in the congregation, would you just reach your hands out to the Lord right now, every single person in this place? Jesus, we welcome your presence here today. We welcome the Lord, our shepherd. In your presence, we have all we need. We lack nothing. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, speak to our heart here and now. If there's any adjustments we need to make, just speak right now to your people. What is your word for us? And Lord, I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ, in this room, in 100 New Street, on Homes Online, I declare in the name of Jesus, the river of the Holy Spirit is flowing in this room here and now, in Melbourne here and now. I declare over every soul, where the enemy is bringing torment, where the enemy is bringing discouragement, any spirit of fear, any spirit of heaviness, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I release the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing peace, bringing stillness. Here's what we're going to do. You can stay in that place with God, but if you're here or in Melbourne and you know you need a fresh encounter with God, you know your soul's in a place where you just feel this message is touching your heart and you need a fresh encounter with God. You are believing for refreshment and restoration of your soul. What we're going to do in a moment, our worship team here, Melbourne, they're going to lead us all in worship. But I want to invite you to come out of your seats and receive prayer. It's not about the person praying for you. It is about Jesus touching your life exactly where you are. Come on, the Lord knows where you are and what you need. And so one last time, let's reach our hands out to God here in Melbourne. Let's begin to worship Him. Let's begin to lift up the name of Jesus. I'm going to hand over right now to our ministry prayer team. Come down the front in Melbourne. God bless you.